What did they have to worry about? These people described by Matthew as worried and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Life was simpler then. They had none of the pressures we have to face every day, you would think. Well, maybe being an occupied country was no great shakes. And of course, they had no health service, no welfare state financial safety net if illness or poverty came along. There would be Roman taxes to pay, volatile weather conditions that threatened their crops and therefore their very existence, and doubtless they would have some of the questions we still have about values and betrayals, about morality and meaning. So yes, maybe it's not so hard to imagine that they were sometimes a bit lost, like sheep without a shepherd. Whether you think Western society is broken or not, whether you believe that new generations are growing up who have not bought into the social contract, who do not feel ownership with or responsibility for or loyalty to the society in which they find themselves, whether or not you agree with those who despair at the state of things, and whether or not you believe the press's negative spin on the world we live in, there is no doubt that for many people, life is confusing, stressful, difficult and dark. That maybe more people than we might like to think are feeling lost, worried and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Where do I go? Where is it going to be safe? Help me. Money pressures eat away at people's peace of mind and can have a corrosive effect on relationships. Debt and the pressure to achieve the same levels as other people can twist a knife of anxiety into our life and we know no peace. Relationships are a minefield of potential harm. Relationships are a minefield of potential heartache, for we all have learned about what makes folk tick and what we need in terms of affirmation and support and continuity. Relationships can be a rocky area for many people, families in turmoil, individuals bruised and betrayed, weak-willed individuals thinking only of themselves and leaving the shattered lives of others littering their story. Not an easy world. And people are troubled, abandoned, and scared of being alone. And worried about their children, the effects of broken adult relationships, the challenges and expectations. What are the right values to share? What's the best way to direct them? So many issues. And parents, single or sharing, struggle to find direction, certainties, foundational values that will equip their children as they face peer pressures and the kind of tantalising options never even dreamt of by previous generations. It's tough out there for parents. And the world is on our doorstep. It infiltrates our front room. And we know the mess it is with its wars and rumours of wars, its catalogue of unresolved inequalities, and its vulnerability to the combined forces of global warming, arms races, and dogma. And if we are thinking, sensitive people at all, we surely shudder with shame and apprehension as the seemingly intractable problems persist and no one seems able to do much about it. What the verdict of history will be on generations that spent more on gambling, alcohol and warfare than ever considered spending to make the world safer, cleaner and fairer. hangs over recent generations, whose idealistic optimism seems very naive in the harsh glare of the truth, the real world. Who wouldn't feel haunted and shamed and ill at ease in our pleasure palaces with our rich men's toys? Worried and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, I should say so. And all the while the siren voices of temptations too numerous to list call in our ear and draw us into the circle of their power, temptations to demean and degrade our true status, to become mere purchasers, pleasure seekers, hedonists, living for the moment, new generations seduced by drugs, sexual license, short-term living, fatuous celebrity that takes no thought for any tomorrow, still less anyone else's tomorrow. The me for the moment, and if it feels good, do it, moral vacuum that seems to serve so many. It's small wonder that those of a rigorous and intolerant religious persuasion find it so much to condemn about the corrupt and shallow arid desert that is so-called Western democracy, Western culture and civilization. So, plenty of pressures, many, many reasons to feel lost, confused, ill at ease. And this, before we mention still less catalogue, the insidious influence of media with its diet of triviality, social pressures to conform, religious diversities that leave folk mired in a swamp of relativism, imagining mistakenly that all religions are pretty much the same and not taking time to discover what a flawed and naive analysis that is. We feel we are picking our way through a minefield. Any careful observer of how the people of Western societies live their lives would not take long to reach the conclusion that worried and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, is not an over-exaggerated assessment of the lives of many who live in our towns and villages. There's a lot of sadness, stress, emptiness around, no matter how shrill the laughter, how seemingly hearty the enjoyment. Like sheep without a shepherd, lost, scared and trembling. And what they need is somewhere they can find someone who can give them wisdom to figure things out, cut a way through the thicket, see sense. Someone who can give them understanding, somewhere where they will find welcome and unconditional love, an oasis, a shelter, a sanctuary of compassion, where people will be willing to have time for them, will demonstrate acceptance of them, compassion towards them in their confusion and pain. What they need and long to find is a sense of direction, some kind of meaning for their life that puts who they are, the dreams they dream, in the context of big picture thinking, where the deep things in them are affirmed and acknowledged and they can enjoy a sense of self-worth. For many, there is a compelling spiritual need to find a forgiveness that goes to the core of their failures and truly washes clean the stains of the past, brings not just vague promises of inner healing, but true freedom from a past that cramps and limits their capacity for joy. They need shepherds who take them to those places by streams of living water, a company of people who will listen to their cries for help and will stand with them in solidarity and compassion, who will go looking for the lost ones and work till hands are bleeding and backs are aching to rescue and recover those who have wandered far from safety. There are no shepherds in armchairs with their feet up. There is work to be done. And those folks need people who will bring them to a meeting with the Good Shepherd, in whose heart lies all the welcome, all the grace, all the help they need. Shepherds needed. The metaphor changes in a heartbeat, and another image is brought to mind, a reminder that harvesters are wanted, the harvest is plenty, but the labourers are few. This is one of the first real lessons I had in rural living. Coming from the dark, satanic tenements of the East End of Glasgow, I had no concept of the importance of the harvest and the drivenness of those whose job it is, whose calling and purpose it is to bring that harvest in. When the fields are ready, the harvesters move in, and nothing has more importance on the agenda than fulfilling that almost sacred obligation to make sure the harvest is taken at the right time. Everything else goes on the back burner, takes second place. This is the urgent priority that stands tall over all calls on time and effort. The harvest is here. Get it in. Now. And the Lord is clear when he speaks. There are plenty of opportunities out there in the world for men and women of the gospel to change lives. There is an abundance of need, longing and looking. And the crime would be to let all that go by, to fail to respond to that, not to bring in the harvest that is ripe in our town, within our family, among our friends, across the nation. There are people waiting to be told about the Lord, waiting to be asked to say yes to his call. They know their need. They feel their emptiness. It just needs someone to take the next step, to reach out in love with an invitation, to offer the challenge to respond. We need to understand our role in helping people get there. And I'm pretty sure it's not our role to do nothing. It's not our role to do nothing. There are people for whom all it's going to take to get them connected, interested, looking harder, coming closer, is for someone, you, me, to make the move, say the word, offer the chance. No more than shepherds can do their job from the comfort zone of their own fireside. No more can harvesters bring in the harvest by remote control. Hands-on committed involvement. These make the difference. Without crass belligerence, but with warmth and respect and interest, we can help people move from their confusion and darkness into a new way of seeing, a new light of understanding who they are, who they might be in the power and grace of God. And it's not complicated. As the song puts it, one shall tell another, and he shall tell his friends. In humility and graciousness, one shall tell another, here is the way, here is the truth, here is the life. And this harvest engages the service of us all. Not one of us gets left off. We bring in that harvest. By what we do, by what we say, by who we are, by the initiative we take. And our motivation is always love. Not a desire to prove that we are right, not a dogmatic determination to win the argument that Christianity is best. Care and compassion for the worried and the helpless. That motivates, that compels us. Shepherds wanted. Harvesters needed.